Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Eric.
And we are proud affiliates of the You Run Podcast Network.
Head on over to YouRunPodcast.com to check out all of our content, all of our affiliates' content, and so much more.
See y'all there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another riveting edition of Under the Floorboards, where we laugh at the creatures that go bump in the night. I am your host, John, joined as always by my beautiful co-host, Eric. How are you this week?
Fabulous.
Especially since we have two wonderful guests this week.
Absolutely.
And we are going to be talking about their upcoming film, What's Wrong, Wendy? First, we've got the one and only and first timer on the show, Anthony Dane. Give it up.
Oh, I was expecting one of those little air horns from like the club or whatever, but yeah, let's go.
Now I'll edit that in too.
Yeah.
And of course, returning to the show, one of our favorites, the one and only Leah Voicy. Give it up, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back, Leah.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
So first of all, both of y'all have had huge years this year. Like, I feel like I am seeing y'all's faces everywhere. And actually, Anthony, congratulations on the release of Meat. Spoiler for you were wonderful in it. You were absolutely wonderful.
Huge spoiler.
That's the best spoiler.
It's gonna suck. Yeah.
Considering there's actually a really big spoiler about that part. Yeah, thanks.
And of course, Leah, between all of your con appearances and your own films coming out, some you've actually worked with Anthony on. So we're going to start with just kind of some of the stuff that y'all got going on first. So Anthony, what has this ride been like this year for you?
This has been one of my busier years, and that's good because, you know, we just jump from project to project. The fun part, though, is that a lot of the projects that I've been a part of this year have been with Spooky, and whether it be in front of the camera or behind the camera, it's been a wild ride for sure.
Absolutely. What about you, Leah?
Yeah, this year, actually, as far as conventions go, where I, you know, do fan meet and greets for Terrifier, this has been a quieter year for conventions. I've only done like two or three, which is fine with me because, I mean, I love doing the conventions, but they get so tiring. And I've just been like really itching to focus a lot on my YouTube channel this year. So having had so many conventions in the past and a few this year have given me the ability to, you know, just stay home, invest in myself, work on my YouTube channel. And I'd say in like the past 2 months specifically, I'm really starting to see like the payoff that I've been looking for. So if people don't know, outside of being an actor and primarily a horror movie actor, I do cosplay and thrifting content on YouTube and TikTok. And yeah, like this, you know, starting from Terrifier, moving into the conventions, it's given me a lot of opportunity to invest in myself, invest in this like little passion project of mine. But outside of that, you know, still doing acting stuff, I just finished up a short film called Sixth Ave, which starred Michael C. Williams from Blair Witch Project. And a couple people I met on Terrifier worked on that film as well. And then earlier in the year, the film we're talking about today, What's Wrong, Wendy, I got to film that alongside Anthony, which was really fun because the other film that Anthony and I did, we actually, our characters never interacted. So it was really our first time working together, like actually, you know, interacting on screen.
Yeah, I don't think we had a single line together in Boy.
No.
But we sat at the same table together and we were in the living room together.
Yeah, we had scenes together, but we didn't particularly like interact. So it was really fun to get a role where pretty much you were the only person I interacted with.
Yeah, I felt really special off of that.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Instead of like the set high fives, you know, where it's just like, good job over there. Right. Good job over there too. So you guys actually play a dynamic duo in this one, correct? Because you are police partners, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I said, we'll start with you, Leah. What can you guys kind of talk about the relationship that you guys got to build now that you actually like got to have the on-screen chemistry together?
Yeah, like I would say, you know, as far as the film goes and where we meet these characters at the beginning, they're fairly new partners. I've been at the Force in this town for a while, and Anthony's character they're fairly new. So we are still trying to build rapport as partners, which I think lends itself to the story because it gives us opportunity to, you know, like, throw in some plot points in a genuine way, you know, because we're just talking to each other, we're getting to know each other, trying to figure out like why I'm a cop, why he's a cop, and how it ties into like the main story. So that was a fun dynamic to play of two people who really need to have each other's backs in a big way, but themselves are still getting to know each other.
Yeah, that was probably the most fun that I've ever had too, is because, you know, Leah, you and I, we didn't have any sort of interaction on Boy From Below. So when we finally got to work together, we spent a lot of time in our cop car, my car, actually. And we were being, you know how it is when you have to create a lifelong friendship with somebody that you've only met for like 5 minutes? Even though we knew each other, we had to create that whole backstory in the car. And I feel like we went off on quite an adventure just trying to build these characters, because just like you said, you know, your character is kind of cemented in this town, and my character had this kind of a strange upbringing as he entered this town. So he was kind of shut off from everybody else and didn't have very many connections. He's just kind of about the job, but he knows something's off about the area. And when you and I are trying to figure some things out together, you've got this quirky personality, and I'm just kind of like, why am I the only one that notices it? And to be able to bring that sort of a dynamic together, you see it a lot in like buddy cop stuff, or like even in Supernatural, for example. You know, there's a connection there, but you can't quite put your finger on it. I wish we were able to explore it a little bit more.
I
but
know.
2026.
Give us a sequel.
Real. Or a prequel of like us, yes, just being cops in the area and going on weird side adventures, side quests.
Yeah, for sure.
It was so funny because, like, I remember when I was reading the title when Spooky sent this to me, I felt like I kept saying, what's wrong with Wendy? Because I just wanted to put the what in there the whole time because I felt like I was tripping over myself. But it seems like, and Anthony, I think you can kind of comment on this a little bit more, and I'd really like to hear Leah's perspective about this afterwards, but it feels like in the Midwest, y'all have really especially after talking to like Roger Connors from Meat and stuff like that, it feels like the Midwest has really cultivated this really cool film culture that is different and non-exclusive. And you have people like, you know, Derek Worley and Chaney Morrow and all of these people like yourselves coming out of that. So what's it like kind of pulling together? And that's what's Wrong Wendy kind of feels like to me, is like you're kind of pulling all of these superpowers together to create something really cool.
Yeah, that's it is really cool. Something that a lot of people don't even expect when you talk about the Midwest, you know. You say, wait, Ohio? What's filming in Ohio? And that's usually the go-to. But there's so much happening here between Columbus and Cleveland. And the best part is that all of these people that are putting on all of these indie productions in these cities are so passionate about doing it that we all just kind of want to work with each other in some capacity. So, I mean, we still kind of go through the motions of auditioning for each other's projects and, you know, this and that. But at the end of the day, if it's a good fit, we make it work. So like Roger Connors, for example, as you're aware, you know, I just worked with him on Meat. And he also auditioned, like we sent him the audition for the character Abraxas in What's Wrong Wendy. And I'd say a handful of individuals auditioned for that role. And there were so many good ones. But like Roger, He owned that character so well. That's what I mean, that there's so much passion about working with each other and bringing these characters to life. You kind of can't not want to work with these people. It's incredible.
I've been saying this for a few years now, and I think if you just are looking at the trends of film, this appears to be true. You know, when you have so many streaming services which sort of take a lot of the profit out of filmmaking, it becomes very difficult to make these big blockbuster films that have been, you know, the way things are done for so long with, you know, an indie movie breaking through every so often. I really think the future is going to be these smaller indie productions because, you know, it's easier to get a return on investment when you're putting less money into a film. And it's also easier when you're talking about like horror films specifically. Horror films do well in theaters regardless. And so I think, you know, the way you're seeing this community of indie film happening in the Midwest, I think that a lot of places are going to pop up like that. You know, in Vegas, it's kind of happening here too. And so for me, it's not so much about location, budget, you know, the who's who. It's like if I meet people that I vibe with and I think are good filmmakers, like Spooky and Anthony, you know, Spooky is the reason that I worked on the last film we did together at all. You know, like if it wasn't for Spooky, I wouldn't have been on that film. I wouldn't have been on What's Wrong, Wendy. So really for me, what it is, it's just, you know, doing films, meeting people you fuck with, and then making more films with them because like they're cool. And you want to, you know, keep working together. And if that brings me, you know, to Ohio more, then I'm happy with that. I just want to make cool things with cool people and see these indie films break through into mainstream markets. And I really think I keep saying this over and over, like, What's Wrong, Wendy, I think really has that potential to break into the mainstream market, to get into an AMC theater or Regal theaters. Is Regal still a thing? I don't know. Anyway, like one of those big theater chains. I could see that happening, you know? I think it's a story people are really gonna love. I think there's so much heart to it, and it looks amazing. And I really hope that trend of indie filmmaking continues.
Hey guys, I'm John.
And I'm Eric.
And we want to highlight our friends Scott and Mark from the You Run Podcast Network.
You Run Podcast Network has done so much for us and so many other podcasters, YouTubers, and content creators who love movies, music, and shows as much as we do by offering a platform through which we can all grow, share, and interact with a massive audience.
But that's not all. The You Run Podcast is also a self-contained content brand that reviews horror movies and shows too. And don't hesitate to explore their landing page via yourunpodcast.com when I'm talking about horror films. And, you know, a lot of them are inherently queer, and there are a lot of either overarching themes or underlying themes that say that. And I'm never sure about how I'm supposed to highlight things. So I'm curious for both of your perspectives on this, because this is marketed and notably said as a sapphic LGBTQIA, I'm going to say alphabet people because those are my people too. I love them. It's a lot easier for me to remember, but
a lot of letters.
It's a lot of letters. But it's one of those things where when I, as a creator, like, am I supposed to be the person who is saying that this is a queer film or this is an indie film or this is a film? Because I always get trapped on some of these monikers. Like, I was talking to somebody about The House Amongst the Trees, and it was like, I think we needed to get away from saying indie film because you are still making a film, and all that indie is putting there is the budget, right? It's saying that there was not a giant production company between this, and it still feels like it's so important to put out there that this is a queer film, but I don't know what that looks like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've been straight my whole life.
Yeah, no, I actually think it's really important to label this film as a queer film, especially because obviously the production company is marketing it that way. And not only is it a queer film with queer characters. It was written, directed, created by queer people. And I think that's a huge distinction. Whereas, like, the last film that we worked on had queer characters, but it was written by a straight person. The entire crew was straight people. So, like, it's a different sort of it's a different sort of experience when it's queer run. And I think that's really important to be spoken about, because for so long queer stories were told through the lens of heterosexual people, and so you're not really getting the nuance of what that experience is. And then, for heterosexual people to be promoting this film, allyship is more important than anything. Especially straight white male allyship is so important, because there's that level of privilege that subsect of people have, that they can break through to people that might not listen to our story but might listen to you. It's like bridging the gap between the queer creators and the people that have not been introduced to us yet.
Anthony, what do you think about
Yeah.
That
No, I mean,
slam dunk, got it.
no, I mean, you said it perfectly. I really can't quite add on to that, but what I can kind of extend to is that it is you see a lot more of queer independent films happening here in Ohio, especially up in Cleveland and Columbus, like, kind of going back a little bit more with Roger Connors and Meat. Even just right after that, if you watch or listen to Roger Connors' podcast with Troy just made a big feature called Hollow Lake, which is actually premiering in 4 weeks, I want to say, up in Cleveland. And again, it's another queer film made with queer people steering the ship, and there's something real about that. It's just real.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what has been nice to take away with. I know we just keep going back to meat, but it's just like in the same vein. It really does, like, when I was watching it, it was the first time that I've ever watched, to my knowledge, you're right, that I've watched a full beginning to end queer film. And it was really cool to see like a lot of perspectives about things that I know that I don't understand, and I felt like I was being taught something while I was watching people get disemboweled. And I was like, see, Mom, I can learn and watch horror movies at the same
When
time.
you put it that way, yeah, I
Yeah.
suppose. But no, that's exactly the point too, is like you back in the day, if you have a straight production company trying to tell those stories, the only thing that they're going to focus on are like the stereotypical tropes that media is exemplifying for that community, and that's not fair, and it's certainly not how any of us actually perceive anything. So to be able to produce a movie that actually means something, not only to just like all of us, but made by all of us, like that's real.
I say like heterosexual until proven otherwise. Like, people always just assume if you're not, if you haven't had this like coming out story, or if the character doesn't have this crazy coming out story, it's this assumption that they're heterosexual. And I think when you're dealing with queer people making films, that assumption isn't there. Like, my character in What's Wrong, Wendy, I don't have a love story. I'm not, anyone's love interest in any way, but my character is queer. And it's just through conversation that we're having, we find out that I have a wife. And it's like not the most interesting part, or even remotely interesting, about my character. It's just like a fact about her is that she has a wife. But it has nothing to do with my journey in this story. And so I think that's what you find a lot when you're dealing with queer creators, is just like this normalcy of queerness and LGBT people, and that not being the most interesting thing about them.
And I think that really summed up what I was asking initially, and I really like the perspective on that, because that's kind of where I was at. Was I didn't want it to just be the personality, you know what I mean? Like, it, like, I feel like, again, with a lot of people like myself out there, when you say that this movie is gay, it doesn't re it just makes it seem like it's the entire personality. It's like it's an important thing, and it's supposed to be there, but I don't want it to just seem like when I say it, that it's just that, because there's so, like, it's the same thing like you're talking about with your character, is like, that is not her personality, that is just who she is, right?
Yeah, and it's not even a part of her story, like, it's just like a little fact that we learned about her, you know.
What was your wife's name, do you remember?
Oh my God, I literally don't remember her name.
Oh, that's so
I made it up on the spot. You asked me on the spot, like, what's her wife's name? And I said, Tyla Blue. That was her name.
That's it.
Yeah, nice. She doesn't even have a face, a name in the movie. She's just brought up once.
I think you had a ring, though, right?
I did. Yeah, I brought a ring with me because it was important that I was, like, wearing a ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the last thing you look at, you know?
Yeah.
And then by straight contrast to my character wasn't connected to anyone or any kind of relationship whatsoever. He was just a lone individual. But like, again, that character, the story that you're following with this character, it doesn't even come into play because that's not anything on his mind. He's more focused on what's actually happening in the town. But who knows, you know, if this character can kind of come back into a sequel, it's entirely possible that you'll actually know. Like, I know what my orientation is in this film. We've discussed it from behind the scenes, but it never comes up.
So
he's queer.
Yeah, I figured.
So also, I couldn't help but notice when, by the way, you guys can check out the sneak peek trailer of this. We showed it at the beginning of this episode, but we will also check it out on Final Ghoul Films on YouTube. But I couldn't help but notice when I was watching the trailer, and I'm not going to say anything that isn't in this trailer because I'm not trying to get in trouble with Spooky. I couldn't help but notice that Roger, playing Abraxas, doesn't quite look human. He also doesn't quite look like a vampire. So I couldn't help but wonder to myself if we were going to have a little bit wider spectrum of the supernatural in this film.
That's a very interesting question.
I would think so. I think Anthony's eyebrow says it all, but...
Well,
I guess you have to see the movie.
I guess so. I guess so.
You heard it here first, folks.
Listen, this is not going to be some Marvel screw up where, you know, we got Kevin Feige on the phone trying to get us canceled because we revealed a character that we shouldn't have revealed.
So. Watching this from inception, when originally this was supposed to be a short film. So it's incredible that it has evolved in the way that it has. And I'm glad that it's gotten so much support, and I'm very excited to see this film. But if you're watching a slasher, you're watching these core group of people, and you'll run into a couple other people. But are we actually building a world and a city that we would like to someday come back to?
In that respect, then yes, that we can actually say we are building something. This is a universe. This is a universe that exists, and this is a universe that is going to continue existing. Whether or not we get to come back and play in this universe is yet to be told, but this is not just like a one-off pocket universe where you just have a small group of characters, it does its thing and it's over, and then maybe like a sequel down the year and the... Where did my camera go? Kevin Feige is on me, I swear. As soon as I start talking about it, they cut me. No. It's definitely going to be a bigger universe than you think.
Yeah. And I also think, like, you know, obviously, as you said, it's not a slasher. And so I think what also differentiates this from a lot of slashers, especially like the first slasher film of said franchise, these characters' motivations are like very clear. They're all very connected into what's happening. I feel like a lot of times, like with the slasher genre, the gore is the focus and the story secondary. And I definitely don't think that that's true of this movie. I think the story is really important and the gore is, you know, extra.
Just a little topping on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm always excited to see speaking of the universal building that you guys are doing with Wendy. So with monsters specifically, right, whether they be vampires, whatever Abraxas is, and anything else that falls in between, I think what people get so excited for when you're talking about a monster movie is, and again, not to just, it's a monster movie, but there are monsters in this movie. And I feel like people get so excited about what the rules are for said monsters, right? Like you have, like when Sinners came out, I know for me, one of my favorite parts about it was they really stuck to a lot of the classic lore for vampires. Are we expecting some of that, or are we expecting twinkling in the sunlight? Like, what are we? it's now just a giant spectrum of vampires.
Yeah.
Oh.
Twinkling in the sunlight is definitely very specific, and I don't think that will ever come back into anyone's vampire lore ever again. I think that is its own thing.
Except the two of us sitting in the car on a nice hot day. We're the only things that are twinkling in the
sunlight. Yeah, we're like shining a little bit.
As far as rules go, the rules are cemented. That doesn't really change. We didn't really add anything as far as rules are concerned. So everybody who, even if you don't follow any type of like vampire lore or anything else, like a lot of those types of rules will still apply. The only thing that we did kind of play with is our unique look at to how they exist, basically.
Yeah, how they, I guess coexist is a word you could use, but
yeah, also trying to be not too revealing, because I could say a few things that'll give some stuff away, and we don't want to play that game. So
yeah, absolutely. But I think that's the fun part of vampires, though, right? Is like there is a degree where they are quote unquote walking amongst us, you know. Whether it be Harris Teeter at 11 o'clock at night or the bar afterwards or something like that. So it is, I'm excited to see what that looks like for this film. So I will say there's a lot of characterization that is going into this. And I know that you guys have talked about your characters a little bit already. Since both of you, I know Anthony, especially with how much work you did on set for this film, do y'all have some characters in mind that you are really excited to see towards the finished product of this film?
Yeah, I mean, because I didn't really get to see a lot of people, so like Roger, as you mentioned, as Abraxas, I did not see that performance at all, so I like don't know what that's going to be. And I mean, even with like Allie, who plays our lead Victoria, Spooky, I didn't see anything Spooky did. There was like so much that I did not get to see. So like for me, it's I'm excited for their dynamic together, like as the two leads, Victoria and Wendy, and seeing how that changes throughout the film based on like events that happen. I really feel like I'm very much going into this as like a viewer as much as I am an actor, just because, yeah, my character has such a limited scope of what is happening in the film that like me, Leah, as the actor also missed so much.
That's true. We missed you every day.
I know. I was so sad after I left.
It's true. We all mourned for like 15, 20 minutes before we all had to, you know, get back to work. But nonetheless, like you were still there in spirit. I know.
Yeah,
I was.
My last day was like the first overnight of like a week or something of overnights, maybe even a little longer.
It lasted about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time in that graveyard. You're in for a lot of really fun set pieces and a lot of very talented actors portraying some awesome characters. I don't want to sound too biased on this, but this is one of the characters that I've gotten to play that's ever had such an arc before, because, you know, generally you kind of just go from point A to point B to point C and the movie's done. My character Sam, there's a whole alphabet involved. I definitely do not appear to be anything of what I am in the beginning of this movie near the end of the movie. Not like a change or anything, but just like the overall arc of this character's motivation and who he ends up helping and how he ends up helping. And it's the most I've ever put into a character before. So quite selfishly, I'm excited to see how that turns out on camera. But just like Leah said, like there's so many talented people on this film that every single person brought 110%, if not more, to each role that they did. I know Shane Thompson, he's a good friend of ours. I'm working on a couple of projects with him too. He stopped over for a while and we put him into the film, and holy cow, does he knock it out of the park with his scene. Just you wait till you see that one. Yeah.
I have been so excited for this film, even since, like, honestly, I was excited for the short film. Because honestly, part of that was like, I was like, cool, I'll get this in like 6 months. And now I'm just like, I know I'm getting a bit better product, but Jesus Christ.
I mean, it'll still be a quick turnaround. Spooky had that first draft like real fast.
Goddamn machine, dude.
Like, literally, like, so good. I oh man, I really am so excited to see the finished product, because I think that I said it before, but there's so much heart in indie film, and when there aren't like so many voices or like men in suits like trying to give you the final say, when it's literally just like the creatives and such a small team of people. I mean, we haven't mentioned Dusty yet, but Dusty was such an incredible director to work with. Like, literally before scenes would take time to pull every actor aside and have like long detailed conversations about like your character's motivation and all that stuff. And, you know, a lot of the pre-work that you do on characters and stuff, it's all just for you. Like, a lot of it's not gonna really play on camera. It's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna say a line and the audience gonna be like, oh, I know what happened to this character when they were 5 years old. Like, they're not gonna get all that backstory that you're giving, but it still helps to have it. So when you step into the role and the cameras start going, you have this fully formed character who is outside of yourself. And I think that Dusty did such a good job of making sure that we were in that mindset when the cameras were rolling, that like, I wasn't Leah, I was Curly when, you know, when the cameras started going. So that was great too.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Like, the bit that I've talked to Dusty, I'm pretty sure she is the nicest person that I've ever
seen. So sweet. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I love Dusty so much.
Yeah. Runs a great set. Like, so, positive and collaborative. It was, yeah, really, really great working with the whole team.
Absolutely. And I guess I want to talk about just a couple more things as far as Wendy's concerned. I know we're looking at probably early 2026 for this ish, right? Maybe, who knows?
It'll be 2026.
All right, well, that's incredible. So this hellacious year is almost over. We're bringing us,
don't worry, a new one will start and it'll be just as bad.
Yeah, but that one's gonna have What's Wrong Wendy in it.
That's true.
That's a fair point.
But through this process, I know, like, there's been so much camaraderie and so much love on this set, and I can feel it from everyone that I've talked to that's been a part of this. And as far as, I ask this question to indie filmmakers a lot, outside of money, because money is just always going to be a factor, whether you're making a $10 million movie or, you know, a $5,000 movie or whatever. What do you think is the most challenging part of this movie for you personally?
Being a cop was challenging. That was a hard role to put myself in. I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cop to you? I had to dye my hair brown.
I would sell you weed in your cop uniform.
Literally. No, I mean, but that is, I'm joking, but I'm also telling the truth a little bit. When I got the script for Wendy, Spooky had given me two characters and said, you know, read the script and let me know which one you identify with the most. And Spooky was fully sure I was going to pick the other character, and it only really given me Curly as an option to look at because Spooky knew I wanted to work with Anthony on something and thought, you know, like, I'll just give this to her and see if she's interested. And I read it and I was like, there's a heart to this character that I really enjoy, and I feel like this is a kind of role that I wouldn't be put up for. And so to me, I just saw the challenge of putting myself inside a role that was so outside myself and still being able to find the heart of that character. But I mean, I felt like my whole demeanor had to change, the way I spoke, the way I walked. Anthony saw me when I first put on the cop uniform and I was like, I look like a cop. Like, this is selling. I was nervous. Like, I did not know if I was going to be able to pull this off. And from what I saw from playback and stuff, it doesn't feel like me. It feels like a completely different person. So, like, I feel like I really did my job really well.
You did. You nailed it.
Thank you. You were great.
You're the best partner I've ever had.
Thanks, man.
Don't worry. I'll put in a good word to try and get us back together.
Yeah.
So I don't have the same sympathy that Leah has. I've played a cop many, many times. But something about this one was a little bit more, and it's because of a couple of things. For one, I'm a big fan of, and I don't know if you've ever watched the show Supernatural. I got two head nods.
I actually just started rewatching it recently.
Oh, which one are you at?
I'm only like 3 or 4 episodes in. I'm just like throwing it on in the background because like I've seen it so many times. But I'm like, I just need something like comforting. And like this movie, this show really does it for me.
Me too. So yeah. I melded this character as kind of an amalgamation of the Winchester brothers into one, because my character has some longevity to this. And the only struggle that I came with doing this role in general was that my character doesn't say a whole lot of words. He's kind of quiet. And in order to play that, you have to do a lot of face stuff. So, like, I built a relationship with the lead, Allie, and we did all of that through looks and through gestures and through just communicating without using words. And to be able to do that, and after seeing playback, of course, I see that it plays to camera. It works. It's perfect. So to be able to keep that momentum going was something that I've not used to doing, because, you know, I've played a cop before, and it's usually kind of the same thing. Like, this is my cop. And I had to be like a lovable type of person without coming off as like, so to be able to create that relationship with Allie just through facial expressions, that was difficult, but that was very rewarding too, because not only did it pay off, but also, funny enough, Allie and I both just got cast with Spooky into another vampire movie that we're working on that we start taking here in the next couple of weeks, actually, or in a month or so. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the it's like a tease. It's not a trailer. It's like a proof of concept that you guys shot, right?
Yes.
And you and Allie kissed in it. And I'm like, that's so crazy that you guys kissed, because like watching Allie kiss a guy was really crazy. Especially because like your dynamic in like What's Wrong Wendy was like cop, and then like potential, you know, she's potentially, you know, we don't know if she's the villain or not. And then, like, in that movie, you guys are, like, dating. I'm like, this is so different.
Complete 180. Complete 180.
I was like, why are my friends kissing? this isn't right.
Well, it's the hair.
The hair is good, yeah. It makes you younger when it's, like, down in front of your face like that.
Thanks. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. No, but that movie looks so good. The lighting is really cool. Like, the whole visual aspect of it. I'm excited for that movie, too.
Yeah, I dug shots a lot. The trying to think of the way to describe it, because I've been in high schools in like 15 plus years, but it's just like all of y'all like commiserating on the beach and sharing a bottle and looking out into the ocean. I'm just like, God, my life is gone.
But yeah, we created that on Wendy, not like the romantic side of things, but like we were able to create that sort of relationship that helped transcend to the next role that we ended up playing, in which we had already kind of built something to stand on, which is also another queer independent. So it's great. We're just keeping the ball rolling, you know?
Absolutely. So with Wendy, the last thing I want to ask about the film is, and Anthony, we'll start with you. What message do you want people to take away from this film?
Honestly, the one thing that I want anyone to take away from it is just to know that every single person is different. Every single person is fighting some sort of inner demon that nobody else knows anything about. And if you can learn one thing from watching this, just know that for one, you're not alone. We're all feeling lost, and to ask for help from your friends is sometimes the only way you can get through it.
And seeing good movies.
Movies.
What about you, Leah?
Coming from the Terrifier world, I get the question a lot of how do we recreate what Terrifier did? How do we be the next Terrifier? I feel like there's so many indie filmmakers that are like asking that question because you've got this film that was made for $35,000 that is now like worth $250 million or something crazy like that. And I think people look at that and they're like, okay, well, Terrifier had crazy kills and it had, that's what they look at. They're like, we need more gore, more crazy gore. And I say that's not what it is. It was just someone who had a story to tell and they had the heart to tell it and it connected with audiences. And going back to what I was saying about indie film, I think it like really being the future. And I think obviously it hasn't been proven yet, but I really do think that What's Wrong, Wendy has so much potential to be this mainstream film to really catapult a lot of us into the next phases of our career and give us like more opportunities and stuff. And it has that potential to like be the next Terrifier, just in the sense that it is a story with heart told by people that are really passionate about it. And I think that that's going to really come through to the audience and they're going to connect with it in the exact same way that we felt making it. And it doesn't matter if you're queer, if you're not queer, like this movie is for everybody to experience and maybe like learn a little bit about people you've never met before or learn a little bit about yourself. I really, and it's fun. It's great acting. It's a really dynamic story. And I'm very, very excited to see, where it goes. I mean, we got the regular, like Fangoria, Bloody Disgusting, like doing write-ups on it, but like big queer outlets were like doing stories on it. And that's so crazy. Like, that they're picking it up and like talking about it. And so I just think it's really special and it has the legs to go the distance. And more than that, that you're talking about a group of people that all they're doing is making films and writing films. So like, this one's in production, but the next one is, right up butting behind it. Like Spooky's always got ideas. I actually have a writing meeting with Spooky on Friday. We're working on something. So I think that's what's cool about this film too, is like, that there's like so much more ideas from this group of people. And there's just going to be like more films through the years. It's going to be worth the wait.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Like, even just the stills that I've seen and stuff like that, like, they look gorgeous. They look absolutely insane. And I know Spooky and Dusty and anybody who's on the editing team for this, it's not going to come out until it's ready. And I have a lot of respect for any writer that does that, because I have seen some films even this year come out where it's just been like,
Same.
oh, that's so crazy. Did we all just have a fucking sense together? Wild. But anyways, I actually have just a couple fun questions for you guys before we get off here. The first one is for Leah. So we got into like this huge argument on the way to my bachelor party So it's no secret that you did a track with Ice Nine Kills and has done quite a few performances with them. By the way, the stills for those look incredible.
Thank you. Oh my God. It was so fun.
Yeah, every time I see it, every time I see like a new one, like when you're at Silver Scream Con and stuff like that, I'm like, what a bad motherfucker. Like, Jesus.
Oh, it was so fun.
So we were discussing, because it's no secret that Ice Nine also does covers pretty often. Spencer's got an incredible range, you know. But when you guys inevitably, as I'm putting this out into the universe, when you guys inevitably do a K-pop Demon Hunters cover, what track is it going to be? And I'm not going to tell you my pick yet, because I got to...
So I actually, I did a little acoustic performance a couple weeks ago. It wasn't anything I was really advertising, because it was kind of just like in my friend's backyard. But I did like mostly original songs, but then we did a cover of Golden, but it was like a low, like sultry version. So that was very fun. My favorite song, well, I like them all. What am I saying? But like, the song I really want to learn is How It's Done, but like I can read Korean like pretty well. So like singing Korean isn't hard for me, but rapping Korean is really hard for me. And so I'm trying to learn that song, but like rapping in general is really tough, and like there's a lot of Korean rapping in that song. So but I'm going to put it out there. So Ray Ami, who voiced Zoe, did the singing voice for Zoe in K-pop Demon Hunters, is someone I've been a fan of for a very, very long time. So when I saw that she was in K-pop Demon Hunters, I was so excited because she's so talented. So I want to put it out there that I will be collaborating with her one day. That's the manifestation.
Heard on that. So for Anthony... you also notably do some seriously kick-ass cosplays. And it seems like you are also, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you're a pretty big comic book person as well.
I dabble.
Dabble, got it. Well, let's say budget's no issue. There's no James Gunn sitting over you or something like that.
Okay.
And you have the budget to do any character you want. And you get to bring, and you get to cast people that you've worked with so far. What world would you want to create, and who would you want to bring into that?
Oh, that's so not fair. How much time we got left on this thing?
Yeah, literally. I feel like there's a million answers to that question.
Yeah. Wow. What universe would I want to explore, and who do I want to bring in on it? Well, I'm naturally going to bring all of my friends in on the project, regardless of what it happens to be. Leah, you're coming with, don't you worry.
Especially if it's, you know, some sci-fi fantasy stuff, because we both say that's like our number one genre we want to work in.
That is true. I really, really want to do something in like high fantasy too. Like, oh my goodness, that would be great. Yeah. But you know what's a character I really want to play? And I think this would be really cool. Here we go. Exclusive. I want to play John Constantine.
It's what the people want.
It needs to happen. But how would you, Leah, feel about donning a magician's cap, a top hat, and being, you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I would be down. Let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not? Let's
well, there
do
it is.
Now. There Who's it got is. The budget? No,
let's do it.
$3 million. Probably I feel, more.
I feel like Leah's got that like Zatanna sass. Like I really kind of see it now.
Oh, totally.
Now I'm like, ooh, I gotta cosplay this.
You actually, yeah, you do have to, and then I'll fix my hair again and I'll bring out John and you and I will go do a photo shoot.
I love it.
No, but that would be probably what I would want to do the most in, actually, because, you know, you get such a diverse group of characters that can come in and out of that. It's like DC Doctor Strange. You can do anything you want to do, really. And if you do it right with the right budget and the right people, you can do it right. Not saying that Keanu Reeves did it wrong. That's just their version of it.
I'm just
I
saying
want to be
Matt
John.
Ryan did it right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Say Matt Ryan was what I deserved as a kid, but Keanu was fine.
Keanu was fine, yeah, but you know what? They're just clearing the path for me.
I mean, they did kind of bridge that gap a little bit with, I don't know if you watched Legends of Tomorrow or not.
Not all of it, no. I've seen some.
I will say it started off very serious and then turned into like space-time lesbians, and I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is like one of the best things I've ever watched. But they brought Constantine back after the cancellation, and he actually has like a bisexual storyline on the show, which was awesome. I was like, I've never seen this before. Like, really?
That's canon, actually. Yeah, John Constantine, he's very bisexual. He would fuck anything that comes his way. He just doesn't care. He's just strolling through life because he knows the end, so he's just going to do whatever he wants to do to get there. He doesn't care. So I think, I'm not perfect, but hey,
Jamesy.
Got your new Johnny boy right here.
I love it.
We're going to do one more thing. Anthony, if you can tell us what you got going on, what people should be looking out for, and where they can find you.
That's a tall order. So if you want to look for me, I'm usually hanging out on Instagram, Real Anthony Dane. That's pretty much where I'm at. As far as what's coming out, as we just said, meat is fresh and it's ready for the viewing. Hollow Lake is another big feature that I'm leading in. I get to be the final girl. Yay. Yeah, it's my first LGBT final girl. So that will be premiering in Cleveland on October 22nd. Not sure where it's going after that, but that's going to be the best part about that one. There's some other stuff, but you know, when you're put on the spot, you kind of forget. So follow my Instagram and you'll see.
And do you have anything to say to your fans out there, Anthony?
I love you.
Nailed it. Leah, what you got?
Well, I am going to be in Tampa in two-ish weeks for the Scaradice convention, which I'm very, very excited about. Other than that, keeping with my usual schedule on YouTube and TikTok, which is to post shorts Monday through Friday, the occasional long form video. I've got a couple long form videos actually in the works. I'm doing a little Halloween try on. I'm going to do a video breaking down all the equipment that I use to show people that you can be a vlogger with not a lot of money. because my first setup was really cheap and I just upgraded, as I was telling you guys off camera. So I thought it'd be a fun, you know, way to show people how accessible it is to make content online if you so choose, which is really like my main form of things. So yeah, between projects, always doing that stuff, especially with Halloween coming up, got a lot of fun cosplay projects in the works. No films at the moment, but I did mention earlier that I have a writing session with Spooky and Kamara Cole, who's another collaborator of ours. We have a writing session that we are doing on Friday for a project that I'm so, so, so excited about. And I can't say any more because it's like literally we have an outline and a title. I feel like Anthony has probably heard us talk about it a million times, though. But like we're finally sitting down to like write it. And it's going to be so good. Like, yeah, it's going to be so good. I'm so excited to talk more about that project.
Congratulations, guys, on all your successes this year. I cannot wait to see what is to come for all of you guys. And don't forget to check out What's Wrong, Wendy. You can check out the teaser trailer now at Final Ghoul Films on YouTube. There's also articles on Fangoria, Bloody Disgusting, Rue Morgue, all the outlets. It's everywhere. So be sure to check it out. Support these guys. Make sure you're following them. And give it up for Anthony and Leah one more time, guys. And thank you guys once again for joining us. We're at Creeks, It Cracks, and we laugh at the creatures that go bump in the night. Good night, everybody.